is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Thanks for hanging out with us on this Monday edition of the Lombardi Line presented by DraftKings alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. He's got Super Bowl rings. I've got a Ring doorbell, and this is the tandem that we love each and every day. Michael, you know what I'm excited about? We are getting closer.
Yes, tell me, please.
We're getting closer and closer to Monday edition of the Lombardi Line being overreaction Monday edition because we're going to have training camp coming up soon. We're only 10 days away from getting that underway.
I know, it's so good, isn't it? I mean, you can feel it. Like, you can start to feel it, especially once the 4th of July is over with, and you can see that teams start to get back in, and, you know, now, you know, teams report, the players have to kind of get going. So, yeah, it's the best time of the year. You get the summer, but you also have football in the air, and before too long, we'll have the Hall of Fame game, and Will Hill be complaining about how bad the game is, and and yada, 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 and yet it'll be on TV, which he'll be complaining that it's not enough, you know, all that stuff. So anyway, that when Will Hill's complaining, that's when you know it's really a good time.
Obviously. Speaking of Canton, by the way, I'm going to be headed up there in a couple weeks because I'm going to be doing some flag football championships for the NFL. And I've never been to Canton before. So I was curious if you had any recommendations while I'm out there and, like, specific exhibits or anything at the Hall of Fame that's worth checking out?
Oh, you got to do the whole thing. I mean, it's all really good. Burt Bell's office is in there. You know, they've got a bunch of Belichick stuff from the Super Bowl against Buffalo. I mean, it's just tremendous, and they've remodeled it. And Tom Benson put so much money, they renamed the field after him. It is really good. And any football fan that loves the game like we all do, it's a great walk down memory lane. We were debating on the beach the other day about, you know, top five running backs. And, you know, I have two sons in their 30s. And, they, you know, someone mentioned we were talking to receivers and someone, you know, and Lynn Swann came up. And, of course, he couldn't get any love from them because they've really never seen him. You know, and it's so good. That's why Football Done Right's a book people should read to understand that part of the history of the league. You know, there was a time when, you know, the Miami Dolphins threw the ball 14 times a year. They went undefeated. 14 times is that what they averaged throwing. And so this league has kind of changed and it evolves and constantly changes. And some of those great receivers, you know, that have missed out on people recognizing them. I think about, you know, when I put my top 100 players in the Football Done Right, I didn't put Terrell Owens in there. And I go back and watch now, and I think that was a mistake. So it's great to go back and visit that and really respect the older players.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to it. Like I said, I've never been down there before, so it should be an awesome experience. And, you know, speaking, I love how, by the way, you just threw in so subtly. So we were talking running backs on the beach. That's just cruel to do to me knowing I'm coming off a 120-degree weekend in the desert, Michael. I hope you know. That's not right.
That's where the conversation – I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. But I wasn't in the – I mean, Stormy, I got to tell you, the water's freezing. I don't know what's going on. I'm not a weather climate person. I don't understand it. I know when I was a kid growing up, it was always cold. And then we started having warm water here. But now it's freezing and you can't even, like, you put your toes in it and like, wait, I'm out of here. Now, of course, the kids, they'll go in it no matter what the temperature. But for me, I'm like, wait a minute, either I'm getting really soft or this water's really cold.
Michael, forgive me, but I can't take your Ocean City complaints. It's too beautiful and too wonderful out there. You're living the dream and you know it. Other teams and people that appear to be living the dream right now include the Detroit Lions, who got the majority of the vote, over 40%. When you put the poll out yesterday of which team is the biggest threat to the San Francisco 49ers in the NFC, everybody is loving the Detroit Lions, and it appears to be that way from a betting perspective as well. We were talking last segment about some handle in awards markets and where money was going. Well, apparently on DraftKings, the Lions at plus 550 taking 27% of the handle, 23% of the bets to be the NFC champion this coming year. San Francisco still getting the second percentage of handle, tied with the Eagles at 15%, but 29% of the tickets, so the most ticket percentage, coming in on San Francisco. And I know the question that we presented in the poll was which team would be the biggest threat. And so we get these four where you have the Lions, who are the big pick here, followed by the Eagles, the Packers, the Dallas Cowboys, not getting a whole lot of love, just 4.7% there. Some other folks folks chimed in the comments, liking potentially the Los Angeles Rams, a couple other teams thrown in. I needed somebody to jump in there, Michael, and say, no, the 49ers are doing it again, and they're going to contend for another Super Bowl. But nobody had my back.
Well, I mean, it's like the Eagle fans. All they want you to do is tell them they're going to the Super Bowl. They don't want to have to go through the pain. You're going to have to go through the pain of this. You're going to have to overcome it, because most times we know, and this is why I'm a little bit worried. You know, most times teams that lose the Super Bowl, there's a little bit of a lull. Now, Dave Ross mentioned that yesterday on the show, and I said, yeah, Dave, they had a lull only because, do you remember, that was the year Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt after mm-hmm. the Super Bowl. So, you know, we don't want to wish injuries on anyone, but that does happen. But I do think the Niners feel very fortunate that they got to where they went to, even though there were some things that weren't perfect for them last season. Starting with their defensive front wasn't as dominant as we were used to seeing in years past. And I think Nick Sorensen, as a new defensive coordinator, I think they're going to get back to having that kind of defense, because we saw during the season, and you were a keen observer of their team, they were vulnerable. I mean, Arizona moved the ball on them. Now, they didn't win the game, but they moved the, you know, people were moving the ball on them. And so in that fourth quarter, again, when they just got tired, they let down. So I think this Niner team understands how to play a whole season. I think they'll be better this year than they were last year.
I hope so. And you're right. Like, they did lose their edge defensively, it felt like. And for a team that is known for the importance of stopping the run first, that was an area where it looked like they really struggled last year and weren't playing to what had the last handful of years really been a significant strength for the 49ers. So we'll see if they can do that again. Again, they are the favorite right now in the NFC to repeat at plus 250, the second shortest shot to win a Super Bowl behind only the Kansas City Chiefs, who of course beat them in the Super Bowl here in Las Vegas last year. I was surprised though, Michael, and I'm curious if you were, to see just how little love that the Dallas Cowboys were getting in this poll, because Yes, we all agree that they haven't done anything to really get better, but they're still very talented. They still have, You know, Dak Prescott leading that offense. I know running back is a question, but 4.7% of the vote seemed pretty significantly low.
Well, I think a lot of this, Stormy, is it's all about perception, right? I said this yesterday. It's like whatever's in people's mind. I mean, people are what they remember about Dallas is what Jerry said about going all in, and then they haven't done anything. And then, of course, the lasting memory we have is Green Bay just moving the ball up and down the field on them and putting the game away in the first half. I mean, that game was over at halftime. So I think those two things, and then losing coaches and not adding new players. I mean, look, who always gets all the attention? The team. The 76ers are the favorites because they've added new players. Does that mean they're the best team? No. Nobody bets continuity. Everybody bets new. And so the Cowboys, who, you know, don't have continuity because they've lost some key players, but they also don't have a lot of new, and that's why they're not getting bet.
Yeah, and that paired, too, with the perception of the lack of being able to even make an NFC championship for 25 years. Like, that plays into it as well, I'm sure. So people just kind of out on this Dallas Cowboys team. Where things sit right now, we'll see if that carries into the season, when I'm sure they will start winning some games and maybe that narrative will change a little bit. Okay, these last couple minutes here, Michael, like we do every day in the summer, we want to find out what's on Michael's mind. And these topics are so fun because they don't have to always be sports related. They don't have to be NFL related. What is on your mind today?
So somebody brought this to my attention. A good friend of mine in the NBA brought it to my attention, and it just hit me like a ton of bricks. Why is J.J. Redick not coaching? Why is he not coaching in the summer league? Mm. Like, if somebody needs more practice coaching, isn't it J.J. Redick? Like, are we kidding ourselves here? Like, just because he just got finished doing television, I know it's exhausting. I know he's tired traveling around first class doing all those things on private planes. I get that. I understand it's hard, you know, to sit there and do a game and do all that. I know it's challenging, right? You know, to fly to Dallas, fly to – I get it. I understand. But you're supposed to be the new coach of the Lakers. You're supposed to be the guy developing the talent. How do you not put your fingers in the pie? How are you cooking the meal? Like, you need practice. Like, you need practice. You've never coached before. You haven't coached a day. Steve Kerr coached the first time he's summer league, right? Nick Nurse coached last year's summer league. And nobody's given him any crap. Of course, the Worldwide League is completely behind him. But nobody's given him any crap for not coaching. Like, when did he become Vince Lombardi? When did he become John Wooden? Like, I miss that. I miss the memo on J.J. Redick becoming this great coach. Like, at some point, don't you have to learn how to coach? Don't you have to have your hands involved? It's your team. They just gave it to you. It's got no chance. It's got no chance to work. Just because he thinks he knows. It's not self-aware. Look, he might be the greatest guy of all time, and I don't really care. But if I were advising him, hey, JJ, go coach. You need practice coaching. You need practice communicating with players.
That was my first thought, too, is a guy in your position, don't you need as much experience in the position as possible? Get a feel for what you're doing. Because even as funny as it was when he made the self-deprecating joke that, oh, I'm trying to get promoted to just middle school coach when he was coaching. Because you know, his only experience is coaching fifth graders, right? And yes, they did win a championship. So he's got that in his back pocket, Michael. But absolutely, you should want to get this experience. You made a great point with Steve Kerr doing that in 2014 before his first year with Golden State. Jason Kidd did it as well. Like, it's an important way to just get your feet wet and get into a little bit of rhythm to understand what you're doing. That's very interesting. It's unique. You do you, JJ Redick. Also, I thought it was interesting while we're on the Lakers as well. Bronny's debut, I know it wasn't great. 2 for 9 from the floor. Okay. Didn't make either of his free throws, which is interesting. But when post-game, he said that the college game is faster than what he's experienced so far in his lone game in Summer League. Why are you just creating a bigger target on your back, Bronny? People already have free reign to criticize you for all of these different reasons. Why are you just adding to it with a statement like that?
I have no idea. And then the next night, he's got a little bit of swelling in his leg and he can't play. He's already on load management. I mean, are we kidding ourselves?
That was a hell of a line, Michael.
It's unbelievable.
Yes, he missed his second game. He is expected to be back Wednesday, though, for the final California Classic game against Miami.
Load management.
We're going to hit the break. Heavy NFC North for the next half hour, starting when we return with Sports Illustrated reporter for the Packers, Bill Huber, joining us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
With our all-new VSiN NFL betting guide out now, there's never been a time to become a VSiN Pro subscriber. This guide is your secret weapon for the upcoming season with in-depth profiles of each and every team, advanced stats, proven betting systems, and betting trends, everything you need to bet the season smarter. But to get the guide, you need to be a VSiN Pro subscriber, and for a limited time, we are offering our VSiN Pro at normally $240, just $199 right now when you use the promo code Lombardi, plus we're throwing in an extra month for free. That's 13 months of VSiN Pro access to everything we do, not only the guide, but the daily best bets, 24/7 video, everything you could need and want. Head to vsin.com/subscribe now. And again, use that promo code Lombardi to get 13 months of VSiN Pro. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We have been talking a lot of NFC and NFC contenders today. Might as well stick with that theme here. But is Green Bay one of them? We will find out. Bill Huber joins us on the Progressive Guest Line, Packers reporter for Sports Illustrated. You can follow him on X at Bill Huber NFL. We are in the dog days of summer, Bill. We appreciate you joining us as we get set for training camps upon us in just a couple weeks. But we might as well start at the top. What do you think? Will the Green Bay Packers be a contender in 2024?
Yeah, I don't see any reason why they won't be. Well, I guess there's one reason why they won't be, but let's assume that Jordan Love is even remotely close to the guy who was down the stretch last year. If that's the case, yeah, they'll be a contender, but they're going to score a million points. I think a lot of people sleep on this receiver core, which may not have the quote-unquote number one receiver, but they're loaded with depth. Running backs are good. The offensive line is always good. They always find a way to cobble together a pretty good group there, and the defense should be better by default. So, yeah, I think the Packers are contenders. They proved that by crushing the Cowboys and pushing the 49ers in the playoffs last year.
Bill, I think this is a hard contract to do. Not that I don't think Jordan Love's a good player, but there is two Jordan Loves. The one we saw early in the season as he was learning to play during the four-game losing streak, where Matt LaFleur was really trying to keep him from hurting the team as opposed to letting him win the game. And then we saw him after the Giant game really take off and play better, even though he lost to Tampa Bay. And then the fourth quarter of the 49er game where it just wasn't good anymore. What Jordan Love are we going to get? Or are we going to still get this inconsistencies that have flashes of brilliance but also disappear?
Well, that's a million. That's the million-dollar question, but that'd be understating things by about $250 million. I don't know. I assume it's going to be the guy who was really good, because, I mean, it wasn't just like a 2 or 3 game stretch. I mean, it was, you know, the last 8 games last year, they went 6-2. I mean, he was 18 touchdowns, 1 interception, then the Cowboys game on top of that. So I assume it's that guy. Not super unlike Purdy, but they got so many weapons on offense and there's just so many guys wide open. I do think it makes the quarterback's job easier, but that's not the spiritual. I think he's got the whole package. I mean, the guy can throw it. He can run. He's smart. You love to see the improvement there. Yeah, he wilted in the big moment, but he's not the first year starting quarterback for that to happen too. You mentioned the contract. I do think it complicates things. So does Trevor Lawrence's contract, right? I don't think Green Bay wants to make him the number one paid quarterback in NFL history. But if Trevor Lawrence is that, I mean, isn't Jordan Love better than Trevor Lawrence? I mean, the numbers at least last year would suggest that he is. So I think he is a franchise sort of quarterback, and I think he's going to be paid as such.
Complicate things is a really good way to put it, because you have all of that you referenced, as well as just the limited sample size with which that we've had the opportunity to see Jordan Love. What is the latest on his contract to your understanding?
Yeah, there's nothing new. I mean, they're talking, right? I mean, it's just it's a total mum's the word sort of thing, which is the way it should be. None of the stuff needs to be negotiated in public. But, you know, the GM wants it done before training camp, and certainly Love does too, because if you're Jordan Love's group over athletes first, I mean, there's no way under God's green earth you're going to let him go to training camp on a one-year rather minimal contract. And if you're Brian Gutekunst, the GM, you don't want the distraction, right? I mean, you've got a team that's ready to compete for a championship. You don't want to have the daily questions to the coach, to the locker room, about your quarterback who's holding out. So it's got to get done the next 2 weeks. And I think there's ample reasons for both sides to want to get that done.
Bill, talk about Jeff Hafley's addition as the defense coordinator. Joe Barry, you know, defense, they could never seem to stop the run for whatever reason, even though their front seven has a lot of good players in it. What has Jeff Hafley brought, and what changes will we expect to see from the Packer defense?
Yeah, I mean, it's not even Joe Barry. You know, under the totality of LaFleur's tenure, the 5 years, Green Bay's last in the league in yards allowed per carry. It's this chronic problem, which is just dumbfounding based on the talent, like you referenced. As far as Hafley, you know, the defensive line coach, Jason Rebrovich, he didn't want to go down the military road, but he did. And according to the Navy SEALs approach, I mean, he's just going to let those guys up front, that new four-man group, attack. It's going to be no more reading and reacting. It's going to be go attack the ball. Sounds great in theory, right? But like Mike Tyson once said, everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face, and we'll see what happens when they face the Eagles in week 1 if that plan works. But that is the plan of attack, is they're going to let those guys turn loose and try to make some plays in the backfield to get teams in the third long. We'll see if it works.
There was a moment this offseason, Bill, where I got really excited that within the Green Bay offense, maybe they were going to have Aaron Jones and Josh Jacobs play together as a tandem in the backfield.
Yeah, you're not the only one.
Yeah, so that went away, unfortunately, quickly. But what is your expectation for Josh Jacobs in this system?
Yeah, I mean, I expect him to rebound. You know, I don't think he's going to lead the league in rushing or total yards like he did in 2022 just because of the number of touches. But I you know, there's just a lot of crap going on last year with him, right? I mean, the franchise tag, and, you know, the quarterback was a mess, and the coaching situation was a mess, and I think it just kind of all works against the guy. There's none of these problems here. I mean, the contract is squared away. He's got a really good quarterback and passing game where defenses aren't going to be able to key on him. There's no questions with the coach, and they're going to want to run the ball because running the ball makes Jordan loves life easier. In 2022, according to Sports Info Solutions, he led the league in percentage of broken tackles per carry. I'd expect that sort of deal, right? Where he's going to go up against a bunch of light boxes, and he'll be able to run through some smaller defenders. And, you know, maybe he's not going to run for 1,200 yards, but it's going to be a whole bunch of second and fives and third and twos, and that's going to be winning football for these guys.
Yeah, Bill, talk about Christian Watson's hamstring. I mean, that seems to be something that always comes up, that he just doesn't seem to have it, you know, able to kind of overcome that. When he plays, I think he's an elite player, but he just doesn't seem it.
Yeah, so at the end of the season, they sent him and Eric Stokes to some specialists, including to a couple of people at the University of Wisconsin, and they think they found the problem. For Watson, he had a knee injury, which led to some workout changes. So it was called asymmetry. I don't want to get too far down the road here, but his healthy hamstring was considerably stronger than the injured hamstring. So kept leading into some aggravation injuries. So they think they've got that squared away. We'll see, right? I mean, who knows? But for what it's worth, they had 10 offseason practices, and he practiced in all 10 of them. Not limited reps. He was full go for all of them. So I think it's cautious optimism that they've got all that squared away. And you're right. He is an elite talent. I know the numbers aren't elite, but he is so big and he's so fast. That if you're a defensive coordinator, he is the guy that you're losing sleep over because he's a touchdown every single play. So even if he doesn't get the ball, he's going to open up things for everybody else. So I guess if it fixed him, we'll see, but they're pretty hopeful that it is.
Bill, I feel like we talk so much when we have these conversations with beat writers, we talk so much about like these high level conversations and, you know, big name players. Were there any other players that got added to this roster in the offseason that maybe are depth pieces or maybe not as big a name players that you think could be impactful and important to the full formation of this team?
Yeah, their second round picks were Edgerrin Cooper, a linebacker, and Javon Bullard, a safety. You know, they're switching to 4-3 defense, and they got rid of Devontre Campbell. So there's a whole lot of linebacker, and Edgerrin Cooper is like right out of central casting as a guy who blitzes. He's incredibly athletic. So they should be better there. And safety Javon Bullard, he played slot in 2022 at Georgia. He played safety in 2023. Green Bay starting safeties last year, Darnell Savage and Jonathan Owens somehow combined for 0 interceptions and 4 passes defense. I mean, just preposterously terrible numbers, right? Javon Bullard and Xavier McKinney are their new safeties. They will be infinitely better. And that's not even hyperbole. They will be infinitely better at safety. Yeah, I do think those 2 second-round picks are going to make a big impact. And, gosh, you hate to oversimplify things, but this defense is almost going to go how those rookies go because they need those guys to really be big upgrades for what they had.
No question. Bill, we appreciate you being here. Thank you so much. Informative stuff. We're looking forward to watching the Packers, right, Stormy?
Yeah, thanks for your time, Bill. You're awesome.
Yeah, take care. Appreciate it.
That's Bill Huber. You can follow him on X at Bill Huber NFL. And, you know, this is a team that I do genuinely feel like so much comes down to 2 things, Jordan Love and Jeff Hafley. You know, what is that defense going to look like and who is Jordan Love? Big questions about Green Bay. But that's going to make this team an exciting and interesting one to follow, I think, in 2024.
And Christian Watson's hamstring. That's why we asked the question, because if he's going with those other receivers, you know, their receivers are as good at that. No, they don't have any money in them, which is not, you know, against the law in the NFL, but they're really good. Those good young receivers make a difference.
He's so talented. And unfortunately, the injury bug is something that has followed him from college as well. He had lingering issues at North Dakota State when he was in school. We got to hit the break. When we come back, we're going to switch gears, remaining in the NFC North, but from Green Bay to the favorite in the Detroit Lions as Dave Burkett joins us next.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
If you like watching and listening to VSiN, you'll love all of our betting tools and content at VSiN.com. Each and every day, we have best bets from show hosts and analysts joining the show, betting splits, exclusive articles, betting guides as well. And even here in the dog days of summer, our VSiN experts and analysts are weighing in with daily articles in Major League Baseball, WNBA, Wimbledon, and more. Plus, if you're listening to this show, you love the NFL. VSiN managing editor Adam Burke, as well as senior writers Tyler Shoemaker and Zach Cohen, are going through each and every team in the league, offering a State of the Union overview for each, as well as a pick or lean on the season win total. If you haven't stopped by VSiN.com yet, now's the time. It's your one-stop shop for all things sports betting. Welcome back to the Lombardi Line alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni with you. We asked you, the audience, yesterday who you thought the biggest threat to the San Francisco 49ers was in the NFC, and the response was overwhelming, over 40% of the vote coming in on the Detroit Lions. To talk all things Lions, we welcome in Dave Burkett on the Progressive Guest Line, Lions reporter covering the team for the Detroit Free Press since 2010, at Dave Burkett on X. And so we'll ask you that same question, Dave. Do you agree? Do you think the Detroit Lions are the biggest threat to San Francisco in the NFC?
I do, Stormy. I'm all in on the Lions for this year. I think they have, you know, one of the best all-around rosters in the NFL. Haven't made my prediction by any means for the season, but if I was right now, I'd be leaning towards the Lions going to the Super Bowl. I mean, I like what Dan Campbell's done. I like what Brad Holmes has done in building the roster. They're very young, so there's a lot of upside. That offensive line is really, really good. I think they have all the components to make a really long run in the playoffs.
Dave, what is the plan? I mean, I think they've done a great job in the offseason. I think obviously they were so close last year. Other than the Baltimore game, they had a chance to win every other game on their season. But what do you sense? Get the sense that Dan Campbell's plan is to not allow complacency and last year affect this year's team?
Yeah, no, I mean, competition, I think that's the first and foremost of it. You know, you look at what they did in the secondary, right? They went out and they got a couple starters or potential starters in free agency in Carlton Davis, trading for him, obviously, and Amik Robertson. And then they doubled down and got two more guys with their first two picks of the draft. So I think that's what they've tried to build all throughout. And you sort of see that where it doesn't matter what your draft position is or what we have on the roster already. We're going to take the best guy to build up that competition at these various spots. I think I see that. I think, you know, they're paying the right people. When you re-sign an Amon-Ra St. Brown, you pay a Penei Sewell, you know, you give Jared Goff a big contract, and you can argue whether Goff's worth that money, but just the importance of that position and rewarding the guys that, you know, work the hardest and do things the right way. I think that is a big component of what they're doing just to make sure that this team stays on the right track. And look, Mike, I'll tell you, you know, and you know this from having gone through it, I'm sure, like, you know, they came away from that loss to the 49ers last year. Like, it was tough. And guys have talked about that this offseason, how tough it was to watch and get over that. And so I did not get the sense at all that there was any complacency this spring. It's quite the opposite. In fact, like, hey, you know, we did this once. We should have gone farther. This is going to be our year to make sure it happens.
And I appreciated Dan Campbell's comments after that loss as well, saying as hard as it was to get here this year, it's going to be even harder to get back, just resetting that bar for the team. And you mentioned Jared Goff. It feels like it's been such a career resurgence for him out there in Detroit. The fan base really appears to have bought in and loved him. A lot of experts here at our network have thought that the number on Jared Goff for MVP, it was 40-1. It has been bet down a little bit, but at 40-1 odds seemed a little bit too long for the success that we know he had in the offense last year. And if you expect that unit to get better, like, that could be like a very good opportunity for Jared Goff to contend in that market.
Yeah, no, that's a fair point. And look, you know, I don't think Jared Goff's the best quarterback in the NFL or a top five quarterback or anything like that. But, you know, when you're talking about that, like, if you expect the Lions to go far, well, who's the leader of that team? It's Jared Goff. He finished second in the NFL in passing yards last year. I think that's a very fair bet at that price that, you know, when you have a quarterback that you expect on a team that you expect to go really far in the playoffs, he's automatically going to be in the playoff, or he's automatically going to be in the MVP hunt. And so I think that number is probably a little bit high and maybe worth betting. And hey, to your point about what Dan said after the season, you know, he speaks from experience on there. The Saints were 13-3. Dan was an assistant head coach with the Saints in 2018 when they lost to the Rams in the NFC title game. And they went 13-3 the next season, but they lost their playoff opener. So, you know, he's speaking from experience. And I think that's why he drilled that point into those players' heads, into everyone's heads, that, hey, don't get complacent about this. If you want to take that next step, you got to put in the work and got to do the right things this offseason.
Well, I mean, if they go to the Super Bowl, it'll be because the defense is vastly improved. Talk to us about Marcus Davenport, the addition there, DJ Reader, the addition in the defensive front, and then all these young corners that they've kind of added into the mix to help their secondary.
Yeah, look, the defensive front is a little bit of a hope and a prayer. I mean, you know, Davenport and Reader, neither one of them did anything in the spring. They're both coming off injuries. They're both proven guys, so we know what they can expect when they're healthy. And Reader in particular, you know, he's been really good for a long time. You know, Davenport, there's some familiarity with Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, and Dan, for that matter, when they were in New Orleans together. So it's not a huge learning curve that he's going to encounter when, you know, he finally gets on the field. But, you know, there will be a little bit of a feeling out period and seeing how all those guys mesh. I think ultimately, you know, those guys are going to be nice additions, good depth pieces. Reader in particular should play a big role, but it's going to come down to Hutchinson. It's going to come down to Aleem McNeil. It's going to come down to some of the horses up front staying healthy and producing. And you know, part of that is, you know, when you have a secondary that's it's deeper and it's better and it's stronger, and that should allow them to, you know, maybe Aaron Glenn to do a few more things with his front seven in terms of getting after, you know, opposing quarterbacks. And, you know, Carlton Davis is, look, he didn't have his best year in Tampa last year, but just the way he plays, the physicality that he has on the outside, that's what Aaron Glenn wants. So I think they got a lot of pieces in that secondary. Terrion Arnold, another guy that plays similar, you know, that if those guys, they can withstand injuries, first of all, and second of all, if those guys play anywhere up to potential, that's really going to help the rest of that defense.
Lions reporter for the Detroit Free Press, Dave Burkett, joining us here on the Progressive Guest Line. When you look at the division as a whole, obviously the Lions are sitting on top there, but the Green Bay Packers are a team that's created a lot of intrigue with people around, can Jordan Love take another step? You look at the Bears and their new young quarterback in Caleb Williams, a defense that took a step the back end of last season. When you look at the division, who's the toughest test for Detroit in those two matchups that they have to play with each all year?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's Green Bay, and I'll tell you guys what, you know, I did this schedule comes out, and we all do these sort of like, you know, right off the cuff, you know, schedule predictions, and I forget what I had the Lions winning, you know, 11 or 12 games. I got so many emails from Lions fans who are like, what do you think they're going to win 14 games? I'm like, look, they may be a better team than last year, but that division is going to be tougher because the Packers from the jump should be good with Jordan Love. You know, the Bears roster has taken a step forward. I don't know what the Vikings will be, what they're going to do at quarterback, but they still have some really good pieces on offense and pretty good offensive line. So I do think it's going to be a really competitive division top to bottom. But if you're asking me the one team that can challenge Detroit or is the biggest roadblock to the Lions winning the division title again, it's the Packers because of the depth of the roster and because of what they have at quarterback and the experience Jordan Love got last year. And, you know, the reality is that the Packers were – in a very similar situation to the Lions, that they had the 49ers on the ropes, on the road, a game they probably should have won, and they ended up losing it late. So I think this could be a heavyweight title fight coming down to the end of the regular season who wins that division.
You bring that game up. Dan Campbell had two questionable calls on fourth down in that game. Do you get any sense that he has regret on those calls?
No, not at all. I don't think he does. You know, I mean – definitely asked him about it after the season and came back at the combine and owners meetings, and he didn't change his tune at all. And I wouldn't expect him to, not on the fourth downs. You know, if you remember, Michael, there was, you know, late in that game, they had the third and goal at the one, and he handed the ball off and they didn't get in. And there was a missed block by Jameson Williams. Otherwise he would have got in. That was the one call that he said, you know, I shouldn't have done that. That was the one risk that he just didn't think in retrospect was worth it, you know, and that obviously cost them the time that they needed to get the ball back. But when it comes to those fourth downs, I mean, that's who Dan is. You know, he rolls the dice, and, you know, really, I think people were maybe more surprised that he kicked the field goal at the end of the first half than he did, you know, than he the decisions and not going for it. So I don't expect him to change his stripes at all. And look, that's maybe for better or worse. I like it personally. I would guess I would rather have, you know, the coach of my team, like, be aggressive and keep the ball in my hands to try to win than not. But I certainly, you know, realize there's another part to that. And a lot of people, when you miss, you tend to take a lot of arrows from a lot of people.
And hey, credit the schedule makers. Week one, Sunday Night Football, right out the gates, Rams, Lions to get us started. Dave, you are awesome. Thank you so much for the time today. We appreciate you.
You got it, guys.
Thank you, Dave.
Dave Burkett, everybody, of the Detroit Free Press. Really appreciate his time. The Lions, by the way, a 3.5-point favorite in that week one game, total 51. And the Lions, obviously, a fun way that they ultimately won that first round game in the playoffs last year, but they also, it was by 1 point, they also won their week one game at Kansas City last year by 1. I'm sure they would like a little bit more wiggle room if they can help it to open the season this year. We're going to hit the break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little more NFL awards, maybe a little offensive rookie of the year, coach of the year. This coach in the NFC North has taken the most money and bets this offseason to win the honor. But for a market that doesn't tend to favor the favorites, are there better options? We'll be right back.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Make this NFL season your best yet with our all-new VSiN NFL Betting Guide. The guide is jam-packed with everything you need to bet the NFL smarter this season, including in-depth previews of all 32 teams with win total projections for each, new quarterback and new head coach breakdowns, Super Bowl predictions, a prop betting guide, plus best future bets from our VSiN experts, including awards markets like MVP, Rookie of the Year, and Coach of the Year. Whether you are a seasoned bettor or you're just getting started, our NFL Betting Guide is your ticket to smarter, more informed bets. Head to VSiN.com/guide to get a copy of our all-new NFL Betting Guide today. That's VSIN.com/guide. And speaking of awards markets, let's talk a little Coach of the Year here. Why don't we? Michael, if you had to guess, don't look at the rundown. Avert your eyes. If you had to guess which coach so far was taking the most money in this market, who would you think it would be?
Well, you know, I know because it's just obvious. The Bears fans are just all in on their team. And even though they wanted to fire Matt Eberflus before the Washington Commanders game last year on Thursday night, where they ended up coming back and dominating and win, they're going to vote for him. I mean, Bear fans are truly, I tip my cap to them, they will put their money right in on bets, even if it's not logical, even if they don't even like the coach. Like, because you know, week two of the season, they could easily turn on Eberflus, easily, right? So I just think, to me, this is one of those where he's going to be the favorite. There's so much expectations, and he knows it, too. He knows that if they don't make a significant jump, he's going to lose his job. Now, I'm not saying Ryan Pace will lose his, but I think Eberflus knows he's on an island. Even though he came in together with Ryan Poles, they came in, not Pace, Ryan Poles, they came in together. I think, to me, they know that Poles is safe based on this incredible talent that's been assembled. And if this incredible talent doesn't work out, Eberflus is going to be the reason why.
We did a full storm warning the other day on bet with your head, not with your heart, yet here we are. And what a contrast that is, Michael, to say that Matt Eberflus is going to be Coach of the Year or he's going to be out the door. Like, those are very opposing viewpoints on this head coach and Matt Eberflus here dead on. Like, a lot of people were questioning whether or not he was going to be brought back this season to begin with. Well, at 9-1 odds, he is a co-favorite with Jim Harbaugh right now on DraftKings. He's receiving the most handle at 14% of the bets that are coming in and 15% of the tickets. Dan Campbell at 15-1, receiving the second most handle at 10%, 12% of the bets. Harbaugh, 8% of handle, 7% of bets, and D'Amico Ryans, who, so close, but so far, falling to Kevin Stefanski last year. He's 11-1 odds to win Coach of the Year, 6% of the handle, 6% of the bets. And I think an important distinction to this award, Michael, before we kind of dive into some folks that we like for this is not an award that goes to the best coach in the NFL every year, as evidenced by Matt Eberflus being the favorite, right? If it did, Bill Belichick would have...
I think Bill Belichick's won it once. Did he win it once or never win it, right? I mean, Mike Tomlin won 9 games one year. He couldn't even get a vote.
Belichick has 3, but Andy Reid only has 1, for example, right? And I'm saying, if this went to the best coach every year, those guys would have a whole hell of a lot more of them than they do. And so there's that element to it. And this can also be... in addition to a team that like turns around its season or turns things around, can also be very narrative driven from a standpoint of what have you overcome within the season? Hence why Kevin Stefanski won it last year too, where they went through 5 different quarterbacks, 4 of them started multiple games. So think about these types of things when you're going into this award and like, yes, Andy Reid is 15-1. How appealing does that look? Highly doubtful that he would win the award.
Yeah, I mean, that's right. So it's really about... it's really about who does the best job of taking over a downtrodden team and bringing it back, right? Because sometimes the best jobs are in, like Mike, I said, Mike Tomlin 2 years ago when he won 9 games. I mean, it was a remarkable coaching job. You know, John Harbaugh is not going to win it if the Ravens win the North. He's not. Stefanski's won it twice in his short career, believe that or not. I mean, that's remarkable, right? And last year, he did a hell of a job overcoming all the injuries. I would say, like if Brian Callahan is able to get 9 wins for Tennessee, don't you think he wins it with that team and the roster, the way they're set up? Or I think you have to look at certain things in that vein, right? You got to look at it like, okay, here's the deal. Here's the team that has the best chance. And that's why I think the Bears, because there's so much optimism in the Bears. I think Mike McDonald would be a great play because I like Seattle on the over total.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not even on the first page of this, right?
So
I don't see him on the Mike McDonald. I don't see him on the first page.
He's
Shane Steichen at 16-1 too.
Yeah, he's not getting bet, right? So that page that we had up there, that graphic was the insights of the way that it's being bet to this point, the top, I believe, 9 on that graphic. So yes, he hasn't been bet in the top 9 of folks that are taking money at this point. Mike McDonald set at 22-1 in the Coach of the Year market. Brian Callahan, who you also referenced, 20-1. I'll give you a couple other things. And so both of those names do play into what I'm going to say here. This is an award that rarely favors the favorites. Every winner in the last 6 seasons has been north of 18-1 odds. So put that into your thought process as you're approaching this market right now. First year head coaches have also had a lot of success. That pairs with the two guys that you just mentioned. A couple other elements of criteria to take into account. Do you think this team can win 10 games or more? And do you think this team can be a playoff team? Also critical in this, Brian Daboll's Giants at 9-7, he's the only head coach since 1990 in Jimmy Johnson as a Coach of the Year winner that coached the entire season with fewer than 10 wins. So 10 wins is a threshold, and they have to make the playoffs. 57 of the 61 coaches to even receive votes since 2015 have been postseason teams. So take all of that into scope as you are making your selections and wagers in this market, because there are a lot of things that have to go right for a coach to get this win.
Right, and I love what you said there, because I had a question before you went through that for you. Let's say the Jets, the Ifers, let's say they win the East, okay? And let's say they are the number 2 seed, and Aaron Rodgers is sensational. Is Saleh getting Coach of the Year votes, or is Rodgers getting
Hell
the MVP
to
award?
The no, Michael. Robert Saleh at 11-1 is the biggest St. Jude's play I have ever seen in my entire life.
I agree.
If the Jets have success, Michael, how much credit is going to that guy? Goose egg. Zero. None.
Zero.
I can't see it happening.
I can't either. That's why I'm shocked he's 11-1. I mean, you can make them 20-1. It's not Rodgers is going to get all the credit, because Rodgers is running the team.
Absolutely.
We know this, right? I mean, I'm sure Robert's out there playing golf right now as we speak, just hoping Rodgers is having a great day. So, you know, I agree. I think you have to kind of take a look at that. Shane Steichen, I like it 16-1. I don't know about you, but if they win the South and they get a 2 seed, or I think, and if Anthony, let me say this, if Anthony Richardson plays well and they get in the playoffs, I think Steichen's going to get a lot of votes. He's got popularity with them.
I think that's a great point, Michael, because look at what the Colts did last year, despite Anthony Richardson going down. For them to win as many games as they did with Gardner Minshew at quarterback, a lot of positive credit and steam is coming in on Shane Steichen. If they continue to build on that success last year with Anthony Richardson, and he gets better and he matures and he ends up being more of the flashes than the setbacks, like, that Colts team could be really fun and exciting to watch, and Shane Steichen would get a lot of the credit for it. And that's such a great comparison, though, between Robert Saleh, who would get zero credit, and Shane Steichen, who would get a ton of it.
Right, and deservingly so. I in both cases, like, I don't think Saleh deserves any credit for getting. I mean, he could barely get to a press conference and make sense. And I would think Steichen deserves all the credit if he gets Anthony Richardson and this team to play really well. I think that's one. I mean, look, if Jonathan Gannon, if they do anything, you got to say he would. Now, let me ask you, Antonio Pierce at 20-1. I mean, Antonio Pierce, if he can get the Raiders offense to play well with Gardner Minshew and with Aiden O'Connell, I mean, I know 20-1 is a high number, but to me, defensively, if they're able to win 9 games to get a wild card, I don't know how he doesn't get it. I don't think he would. But I don't know how he doesn't get it. I don't think he could. That's my point. I don't think this team's good enough to win. I think they're better. They're more inclined to get the first pick in the draft and they get to make the playoffs. But you have to give them that, right?
Well, and first-year head coaches have won 4 of the last 7 honors as well. First-year head coaches is another great point in there. Me with Antonio Pierce is I'm just not buying what they're selling yet. So that's not a bet that I would want to make personally, just because I'm not buying in on the Antonio Pierce experience as a head coach yet. He is a great, like, rah-rah cheerleader type guy. He's going to get you in the mentality. He's going to tell you you're going to punch guys in the mouth. But are you really, once we're out on the football field? I don't know yet. So
yeah.
That's just not a bet I would make personally.
I'm not buying him. Yeah. I'm not buying him. No, I'm not buying him either. I'm with you on that one, Stormy.
And I don't mean anything bad by it. I wish the Raiders success.
No, you know, I'm just not buying it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. I certainly hope that Antonio Pierce is able to turn that franchise around. It's obviously one that you care about and like have history with. We would like to see it back in a prominent position, but I'm just not sure this season specifically under Antonio Pierce. I just need to see it a little bit more before I can believe it. That show went by fast today, Michael. And we're all wow. NFC heavy. We're going to have to give the AFC some love here this week as well, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Thank you, Stormy.
Thanks, Michael. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place right here on the Lombardi Line. If you're staying with us on VSiN, Sharp Money is coming up next on DraftKings Network. It's the Ross Tucker Football Show.